You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
216-578-0850. That's the way to get on board here. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. Let's get things kicked off here with Larry in Cleveland. Larry, welcome to CBD.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good for old man.
All right.
Good.
Hey, I want to ask you a couple questions. Okay. Would you take a chance on Sam Bradford or Ryan Mallett?
Do I like any of them?
Yes.
I think if Sam Bradford gets cut, he's certainly somebody to look out on pace for 32 passing touchdowns in 2013 before his injury. Obviously, number one overall pick. He's got a lot of he really has a lot of talent. He's got the tools. He's got the size, et cetera. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. That's a big ability. You know, as Ray Farmer says, it's your ability. Your availability is one of your biggest abilities. So he's somebody I would look at. I like Mallett's size. Again, I like Glennon because I think his price tag would be so cheap. He's still on a rookie deal that if it works out, it's great. And if it doesn't, to me, there's really zero risk in it.
Yeah, and the only way that I truly see Sam Bradford, who I would love to be here and kind of resurrect his career and get a fresh start, is if it was some type of incentive-laden contract that would make it very Cleveland Browns friendly. Because, you know, him having the last post collective bargaining agreement contract, he's made a significant amount of money with not a lot to show for it, you know, in those 4 years in St. Louis. And so this would be his opportunity if he's humbled and ready to rebuild, you know, that he could either take a significant pay cut, maybe somewhere in the $5 to $7 million range, you know, for a top level quarterback here in Cleveland would be great. But I would even more so like if there were, you know, to get to hit that $10 million number, if it was very Cleveland Browns friendly, meaning X amount of touchdowns, X amount of starts, this type of Pro Bowl, a playoff appearance, those types of things that really make it valuable to Sam Bradford to go all in with Cleveland.
Let's go now to Mike in Youngstown.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Great show as usual.
Thank you.
I'd like to obviously get your expertise, easy for you to say, on a couple things. I watch the games, obviously, especially Ohio State, but I watch, you know, Oregon and Florida State, and it just seemed like, you know, that when Ohio State played Oregon, that people kind of started, you know, getting down on Mariota, and I know he's a different type player than Jameson, but what I see in the two of them is that Jameson, I think, and I'm not quite sure, but I think he had somewhere in the vicinity of 25, 28 touchdowns and 18 interceptions. And to me, the Pac-12 just seemed better than the ACC. And I saw Jameson struggle. To me, it looked like he struggled with the pressure that Oregon was putting on him. And I'm not quite sure that, you know, he's going to be the real thing like everybody says, but of the two, if I would be able to sit, or you would be able to get Mariota and have him sit, just, I know it's hard if he's going to be in the first round, but have him sit, don't you think with his intelligence, his size, that to take them a couple years and work with him to make him a pocket passer?
In some cases, yes. And I think that, again, as I said earlier, when we talked to Lance about, you know, Kevin O'Connell working with Marcus Mariota out there on the West Coast to prepare for the upcoming NFL Combine and, of course, his Pro Day that will be hosted out in Oregon. It's going to be the strides that he hopes he can make and become a pocket passer in that time. As we recall, you know, the spectacle that was Johnny Manziel's Pro Day with him throwing in a helmet and shoulder pads and under center for the first time taking snaps and making those throws, it's something that he's going to do his very best to prove. And I think because of his resume at Oregon, the fact that he's very clean-cut guy, very work-hard guy, has all the intangibles, but it's that system that he's so comfortable in is what has made him so great that will be continued to be in question. And he's trying to do everything he can now in the next 2 months prior to draft to alleviate as much as he can and prove to these scouts and general managers and organizations that he can be a pocket passer and succeed in the NFL so that he doesn't have to sit and be a project. Because no one wants to sit and be a project.
No. And I look at it as the reason people prefer Winston, at least in a lot of scouting, and certainly in my take in looking at both of their tape, is you can see Winston's game translate to the NFL much more quickly, much more naturally. The things that he does well are the things that good NFL quarterbacks do to win consistently from the pocket, make the throws. He's got the arm. He can stand tall in the pocket, deliver the football. Mariota is certainly more of a system quarterback at this stage. And as Mike Mayock said, he's a project for literally every single team in the NFL other than, you know, Chip Kelly's Oregon Ducks in Philadelphia. So that's the issue there. I wouldn't want the Browns to go after Mariota. I think that if they do, I mean, I get it. He's a great guy to be the face of the franchise. He is clean cut. I think he will put in the work. I think he will develop. But, you know, Winston to me seems like a guy that is certainly more pro ready at this time to come in here. And speaking of Mariota, the Browns getting kind of killed by Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, saying that NFL executives are complaining about the Browns brazenly exploiting a loophole. The Browns are rumored to be signing Kevin O'Connell to be their quarterbacks coach. Kevin O'Connell had, as I understand it, already been under a contract and had obligations to various prospects to work with them, one of them being Marcus Mariota, getting ready for the draft. And so when he is under his contractual obligations are done, he will join the Browns. So I don't think it's necessarily that the Browns are having him work with a player and teach that guy the offense, but this is the criticism from a high level executive. The Browns can have their quarterback coach in waiting, work with a player, teach him the offense, but we can't even talk to any potential draft pick until the combine per league rules. Something is wrong here. Now it only ends up ultimately even potentially being an issue if the Browns do trade up and mortgage the future for Mariota. I think otherwise it's a little bit of ridiculous talk, and it's just that's what Kevin O'Connell was. That's what he did. That's his profession, and he's fulfilling his contractual obligations under his old profession before he can take on a new one. It just so happens to be working out that way.
Absolutely, and it's, again, coming from no bias, it makes total sense. And to be very frank, as I made this point last week, it's I think the Cleveland Browns, with no players here, with John DeFilippo still, evaluating last year's roster and watching all that film, him being a former quarterback coach, there's really no need to go out and fill that void. And I think the Browns are very comfortable that Kevin O'Connell will be the guy. And in some cases, but if you're not in Cleveland and you're not a Browns fan, you could see if your team was at stake for Marcus Mariota, why in which you might be, you know, your feathers might be a little bit ruffled because of the situation. It's kind of, again, a loophole that we have. It's not like we've seeked out. It's just kind of fallen into our lap.
And it's interesting, again, it's like tough for the Browns, certainly PR loop every single day. It seems like something's about it. And now I think Florio is just, in my opinion, a little bit over the line in his criticism of the Browns for this. I don't think that it certainly is. I don't think that it is true. I think that it is a little bit over the top in terms of what he is saying. And the innuendo that the Browns are teaching their Mariota our offense.
So we get a little bit. So we get a little bit of quarterback handicap. It's like, you know, it's been 15 years. We've got a laundry list of names. Do we deserve a little? We find a loophole. I mean, yeah. Bill Belichick found a loophole, got him to the Super Bowl. Can we find a loophole and exploit it?
Gibbs, in your opinion, is this something that it just kind of ended up this way, or do you think this is something that the Browns have intentionally put in motion to try to gain some advantage?
Hey, if they did, they did. If Bill Belichick deflated balls, whatever. He won the Super Bowl.
That's right. Rings aren't going to have a deflated football on the side of that ring, will
they? That's all I'm
saying.
You know, if there's something there, and I think it's overblown, but if there's something there, whatever. You can't tell me that every NFL GM last year wasn't trying to get a hold of the quarterbacks. Who was the quarterback guru that was in charge of Manziel last year?
Whitfield.
Yeah.
And O'Connell worked for him. And by the way, O'Connell works for Whitfield, and now Mariota's there, Winston is there, and Bryce Petty is there.
Okay, so the guy had already previous obligations.
That's why it's silly. It's just a non-issue. The guy had a job that he's finishing, seeing it through. When his job's over, he will come accept this job with the Cleveland Browns. To me, it just happens to be a coincidence, and really it's not that much of a coincidence. You're hiring the guy to be your quarterback's coach. The fact that he's a quarterback's guru that prospects want to work out with is not that crazy to me.
That's a very good thing for the Browns.
It's probably
not
a good thing.
If
yes.
It was against the rules, the NFL would penalize you. And the NFL,
or the NFL
not
would say you have to stop being
ceased and desist.
Right, you need to go.
You know, Gerard mentioned it earlier today on the Really Big Show. There was a guy for the Patriots for 3 years. He was working out with guys. You know, guys that maybe the Patriots drafted, maybe they didn't draft. And it took the NFL 3 years. And all of a sudden, the NFL showed up one day and said, "You can't do that anymore." Okay, great.
Okay,
no big deal. I just, You know what?
Like, what's Florio trying to do? Is he trying to get the NFL to do something? Because he's like he's making a big stink about it.
I don't know if it – is it Florio or is it the guy – is
well, when
it the
Florio's
NFL
the author,
executives?
Florio's the author, and his first paragraph is, if the Browns showed the same kind of reckless abandon on the field that their front office displays away from it, the team might actually become a contender. To me, that is like he's talking a little bit of trash. So I'm pretty sure that he is saying –
Yeah, I mean, hey, every team's trying to get an advantage. Don't tell me they're not.
They're not. I think, in my opinion, this does to me. It doesn't mean anything, unless the Browns are drafting Mariota.
100%.
I mean, to me, it doesn't mean anything. Now, are they trying to get information on him? Perhaps. Maybe they want to trade up for him. But to me, at the end of the day, it's really not that big of a story or not that big of a deal. At least right now, this is the guy's job, and he's transitioning out of that job to his new job, and he'll do that. I think probably after the combine and the quarterbacks that he's working with their pro days, and then he'll have the opportunity to transition out of that, and I think it'll be just fine. That's our first hour. Second hour, we've got a lot to talk about. 216-578-0850. We'll continue to talk draft. I think clearly everybody who is a quote-unquote draft expert feels that the Browns need to take a wide receiver early this year. The question will be, do the Browns feel that they need to take a wide receiver early this year? Do you think they will? We'll talk about the analytics debate. Charles Barkley on TNT last night ripped Houston general manager Daryl Morey, calling him a stats idiot. What do you think about that?
Idiot.
I think analytics can be very valuable. We'll talk about that as well. And get your tweet, your questions in to at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 57, at Browns underscore daily. Use the hashtag mailbag, and we will get it done. As our guy Chad Gompf checks in, he says, in regards to that Florida report somewhere, Bill Belichick is applauding the Browns. I don't mind applause from Bill Belichick.
Me neither.
Hour number two, CBD, right after this.